Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I'm Corey Quinn, and this episode is sponsored in part by DigitalOcean. DigitalOcean tends to offer an approach to cloud computing that seems sorely lacking in today's world. It is simple and straightforward to get up and running. Rather than 12 weeks of getting up to speed on how it works, you can get up to speed in 12 minutes. It is straightforward, it is simple, and it does what you'd expect. It has virtual machines, load balancers, managed databases, a Kubernetes option. Check them out. Visit do.co/screaming. And my thanks to them for their support of this ridiculous podcast. So what happened last week in the wide world of AWS? Well, I'm glad you asked. Amazon Athena adds support for querying data in S3 buckets using AWS Identity and Access Management's AWS :\via condition key. So allow me to explain what that release does, since the release announcement itself most assuredly does not. It means you can't access the contents of an S3 bucket directly, but when you invoke Athena, it can query that bucket on your behalf. The end. Was that so hard? Apparently. Speaking of terribly worded descriptions, here's another one. Amazon Neptune refreshes the console experience to simplify management of your Giraffe database. Now, that's great, but the problem here is that it takes 4 entire paragraphs to explain what the new console is like rather than providing a single screenshot. Amazon Pinpoint added template personalization using machine learning. The same kind of machine learning, in fact, that leads a company to build a user engagement system like Amazon Pinpoint and then market it to its existing customer base of infrastructure engineers. Announcing column-level access control for Amazon Redshift. Good news, you can now restrict people from reading the column that contains your user's passwords in clear text. Announcing time expression for Amazon Comprehend Medical. It would appear that the Amazon Comprehend Medical team also got tired of waiting for TimeStream to ship and went ahead with implementing what they needed by their damn selves. Automate index management with Amazon Elasticsearch Service. Elasticsearch is terrible. You should manage less of it. Seems to be every managed Elasticsearch service offerings approach. Which brings me, of course, to another of this week's sponsors, Chaos Search. Because managing Elasticsearch is generally awful, what Chaos Search tends to do is lets you query data that lives in your S3 bucket with the same durability and availability guarantees that you would come to expect from S3, but the compute scales separately because it lives in containers next to that S3 bucket. You own your data. The containers that you query talk to the S3 buckets in your account, and there's no other infrastructure to manage. You don't have to worry about setting up replication. You don't have to worry about handling indexes. You don't have to worry about all of the care and feeding of infrastructure, but you still get access to your data for log analysis or whatever else you want to do with it using the APIs you've come to know and tolerate, or at least integrate with. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io. And my thanks to them for sponsoring this ridiculous podcast as well. AWS CodeCommit introduces an open source remote helper. What is that, you might ask? Because I sure did. Turns out it's the answer to something that looks exactly like GitHub's Hub or the GitHub CLI, but with a name that no one on the planet would interpret to mean, oh, this is a command line helper. No, it's their open source remote helper for AWS CodeCommit. Because if there's one thing AWS cannot stand, it's people discovering what a service or tool does and then using it. AWS Config now supports multi-account, multi-region aggregation, and advanced query in the Europe Stockholm region. That's right. Their multi-account, multi-region configuration now extends to another region. I can't make this up. The AWS console mobile application launches a new Android version. Historically, there's been just an iOS version, and it is severely limited. Personally, as always, I would much rather see the effort that goes into building these mediocre native apps redirected towards making a responsive version of the web console that works on everything cross-platform. I must be a crazy dreamer. AWS Control Tower now supports single-step account provisioning. Before this release, spinning up a new Control Tower account took you leaving Control Tower's console page, logging in as an SSO user, and then from there provisioning the new account you wanted to spin up. It sounds nutty, but I swear to you, it's true. Anyway, that is not the case anymore. It is single-step provisioning from that master account. AWS Secrets Manager now supports larger size for secrets and higher request rate for Get Secret Value API. Excellent news. You can now replace DynamoDB with Secrets Manager if your read request rate is less than 2,000 reads per second. Understand this will cost you 40 cents per month per row in your ersatz database now, but you can do it. AWS WAF, or Web Application Firewall, adds anonymous IP list for AWS managed rules. This lets you restrict anything from accessing your application that comes from a public VPN or whatnot. Keeping track of all the public VPN endpoint IP addresses in the world sounds like a Sisyphean task that's right up there with reading the comments on YouTube. Build K-Nearest Neighbor, or K-NN, similarity search engine with Amazon Elasticsearch. That's right. I guess it's easy to run Elasticsearch after all, presupposing you're smart enough to grasp just what the living hell a K-nearest neighbor similarity search might be. I'm certainly not. AWS Lambda at Edge now supports Node 12.x and Python 3.8. Lambda and its Edge equivalent are great since you no longer have to worry about patching or maintaining infrastructure. Now please make sure you update your functions every year or so you don't fall off the end-of-life treadmill for various language runtimes. There's always maintenance burden for all of us. NoSQL Workbench for Amazon DynamoDB is now generally available, and I personally want it to exist for iPad rather than just for Windows and Mac. And then I want them to build NoSQL Workbench for Route 53 to exist for the rest of us. U.S. commercial regions now support bank redirect payment method in Chinese yuan for China-based customers. AWS now supports China-based customers who use services in U.S. commercial regions to pay their invoices from Amazon Web Services, Inc. in Chinese yuan through bank redirect payment method. You'd think that sentence was me making fun of the convoluted nature of this release and its phrasing, but no, that's the first sentence from the release verbatim. I can't get snarkier than that. AWS named as a leader in Gartner's Magic Quadrant for Cloud AI Developer Services. This is very fair. I mean, Cloud AI Developer Services is pretty much catnip in phrase form for Gartner analysts. Host your apps with AWS Amplify Console from the AWS Amplify CLI. The problem with Amplify, or at least my understanding of Amplify, is that it's not entirely clear to me whether it's a JavaScript library, a framework, a CLI, a console, or a breakfast cereal at any given point in time. Identifying and resolving security code vulnerabilities using Sneak or Snike or Snake in AWS CI/CD pipeline is on the AWS DevOps blog. I've been reading a lot about Snike, S-N-Y-K, lately, but I haven't been hearing how it's been pronounced, thus I can't for the life of me figure out how the company's name is pronounced. Ideally, they're going to raise another round of funding soon, which they can then use to buy another vowel to help me out. Introducing AWS Config multi-account, multi-region support for advanced query. Historically, when you were looking at recently developed AWS services, you could choose between multi-account or multiple region on a good day. Frequently, neither of those two things was the hand that you were dealt. It's nice to see that changing. I'm looking forward to seeing more releases like this that expand that capability to more services. Provision AWS chatbot configurations with AWS CloudFormation. But can you set that CloudFormation to work by talking to the AWS chatbot itself, thus setting up a virtuous cycle that leads, in turn, to the robot uprising that destroys the entire world? This one coming at you from Twitter, Amazon CloudFront, the CloudFront account, has announced a change there and nowhere else, that they have reduced deploy and update times for CloudFront distributions down to about 5 minutes consistently. And it was only announced on Twitter because I imagine they're going to announce it on the AWS blog after 6 more months of latency. And lastly, on a more serious note, AWS has had a top tier of engineer for a while now. A lot of the big tech companies have. Some of them call them fellows, because of course they're dudes, but Amazon calls them distinguished engineers. There have been 17 for a while, and Peter Vosshall left recently and retiring after 20 years. This past week, Andrew Certain was named to Distinguished Engineer, which is a big deal. That is a VP equivalent role, which is nuts. There are, again, only 17 of them in all of Amazon. And he works on QLDB, which is Quantum Ledger Database, which you apparently need an auxiliary brain pack strapped to your back in order to understand what it does. He does, and thus he is a distinguished engineer. Congratulations to Andrew Certain on that promotion. Whether he likes it or not, he has to deal with it. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn. This is the AWS Morning Brief, and I will talk to you next week.
This has been a Hubble Pod production.
Stay humble.